just a few concluding words. So the goal today was for Christine and I to just trying to illustrate that there is a real convergence between the sensory system. Actually, we are even talking now mostly on a multi-sensory or maybe a space which is just being vectored by different channels. So Amir illustrated that and the potentiality for sensory substitution, and also proposed, and I will conclude with that, that there might be a way to use that as a training system for rehabilitation. We heard from Mr. Sharma that there is a very short type of responses which can be exploited. It was very interesting to hear from Steve Lumber that what we have always thought, that people who are deaf are seeing better, and conversely, there is a basis for that and there is evidence for that. And John Dowling outlined that he thought that this was true, but the first time he really heard the evidence strongly on that. And this is something which is extremely important. Of course, we are waiting for clinical evidence relating to that, but it's already almost there. And this was actually illustrated in the auditory field by Peter Keating, because getting really so strong evidence both at the clinical and the experimental level of this type of possibility for plasticity is very important. The mismatch negativity appears as a tool, but also as a concept of which is extremely far-reaching, and probably we'll hear more and more over the next years on that, and it's light and an eye-opener. From the talk of Brian, I think what we can learn a lot, but the first one for me that matters a lot as a clinician is that every patient is a huge source of information. And although we like statistics and we like to study on a large scale and compare things, every patient has his own story and is telling us a lot, and we should dissect more. It's also very cumbersome sometimes to look at psychological papers because they don't look so scientific, but actually when you hear that and you see the data and the facts, this is something extremely important. He also, and actually the discussion at lunch on that was very important, that plasticity is probably an overused word, and it's probably covering a lack of knowledge and something we just use as a buzzword. I was recalling that 30 years ago I used the word in a paper, and I was asked, what is this, by the reviewer, and very difficult to answer, and still very difficult to answer. But still we are in a situation where probably transforming what, as Brian proposed, the term plasticity into models and circuits and the ways to demonstrate what really happens, both at the anatomic and the functional level, is timely. And I'm liaising that to the last talk, which is really providing the technological methodology to study that. And there are many things I had in mind listening to the talk, many questions we could address. And it shows that sometimes technology is enabling us to revisit old concepts and probably to create or to refine existing concepts. And the talk on what happens after cochlear implants, there is still a lot of controversy in literature, and I agree with Christine that we should study every patient, or at least every type of patient, on the basis of a pathobiology before we draw conclusions on the large scale. And this is why, and I don't agree that the eye is peripheral, Brian, the eye is part of a central nervous system, but studying the system as an integrated system rather than something which is layered, it's a global perception system which has to be studied as a rule, but also to be dissected at each individual level. But altogether, the bad news is that it's far more complicated than we anticipated, but it just tells us that we always anticipate too simply, and we have to be more careful in any anticipation. But at least it's a good way to move forward. If we knew how complex it is, probably we would give up before we start. So it's good to be simplistic, at least to start with. But it tells us also that there is a huge potential. On Monday and Tuesday, I invite whoever can attend, we'll talk about visual restoration and possibilities to restore vision in blind people, and Christine is talking all in her courses on that. But the brain is really where everything happens, and the eye is part of the brain, of cochlear probably part two in some ways. But the fact that there is a possibility to learn how to see and to learn how to read and to learn how to hear and to learn how to sense the world is probably the main message. And the day we are able to use these imaging technologies and models, these concepts and the new technologies to restore senses all together in an integrated manner, in a holistic manner, around patient views viewed as individuals, who need to learn and perceived as individuals by the physician, the scientist, is probably the day where we'll be able to cure some of these devastating diseases. So I want to thank the people for attending, to thank the speakers, to thank Christine, we organized that together, and also to invite you to follow the next possibilities and to follow that on the web. Thank you very much. And also to thank Collège de France and the Fondation Bettencourt-Schuller for funding a lot of that.